Shalom to all! Today we're learning Yerushalmi Sukkah, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, and the Ezra Hashem Shuras Daf at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the article Shuras Daf on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and today's Daf is sponsored Lilo Nishmas, Marsh Meir Mitzar Bas Biyaka Moshe, Her Neshama should have an Aliyah. So Mishnah tells us, Ha'izu Sukkah Sebirosh HaGolo, Ebirosh HaSfina, Ksheira. Somebody makes a Sukkah at the top of a wagon, or on the top of a ship, it's Kosher, V'ayim Lobi Yomtif, and one's allowed to even go into it on Yomtif. Now the Chishin HaGolo, the wagon, is that even though it's movable, the wagon moves, that's not a problem, it's still Kosher, and we're going to see in the Gemara what the Chiddush in Rosh HaSfina is. Now let's explain this terminology of oilin lob yamtif. Literally, this means you could go up to it on yamtif. It doesn't necessarily mean up to it. It's not necessarily up anywhere. It just means you go into it. The reason why I use the lashon of up when we talk about going into a sukkah is because more often than not, their sukkahs were on top of their roofs, so they would have to literally go up to their sukkah, and that's why we use this lashon. The mission continues. Barosh ilon oil gabi agamal. If a person makes their sukkah on top of a tree, like a treehouse sukkah, or on top of a camel, ksheira, it's a kosher sukkah, but ain't oilin lob yamtif, one can't go into it on yamtif. He could use it on chalamayid, but not yamtif, and that's because there's an of being mishtamesh be'ilon. You're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos out of fear he's going to break a branch. Same thing, a person's not allowed to ride an animal or be mishtamesh be'behema because maybe he's going to end up breaking off a branch either. Another discussion regarding a sukkah that has to do with a tree. Shtayim de adam v'achas be'ilon. There are two walls that he made, and the third wall is the actual tree. Ay, shtayim be'ilon v'achas be'adam. Two walls are a tree, and one of them he made. Ksheir, it's a kosher sukkah. It's not a problem to use a tree as a wall, but ve'ein oil lo b'yamtif, one can't go into it on yamtif. That's because we're afraid that since his schach is resting on the tree, he's going to end up hanging something on his schach. Very often they would do that, and that means that he's using the tree that's called being mishtamish bi'ilon, and that's aser, so he can't use it on yamtif. However, shalish bi'adam v'achas bi'ilon, if he has three walls that he made, and the fourth wall is a tree, ksheir, that's kosher, v'on lo b'yamtif, you go into it on yamtif, because we're not really paying attention to the tree at all. The schach could stand without the tree, his three perfectly fine walls, and therefore we're just looking at the regular walls that he made and not the tree. Now, zaklal, this is the rule, says the Mishnah, kol shenita l'ilon, if the tree would be taken away, v'hiyachoy lam b'fnei atzma, and the sukkah, the schach could stand on its own, ksheira, as a kosher sukkah, ve'olin lo b'yamtif, one can go into it on yamtif. So first the Gemara asks about the beginning of the Mishnah, what's the chiddush in the boat? Manan kamin, what are we referring to? Even as soon as ba'aretz, if the boat is on the land, it's on the ground, maybe it's a canoe, or it's perhaps even a little bit of a bigger boat, but it's on dry land, so dira kol mutter, everybody would say you're allowed to build a sukkah on the boat. What's the chiddush? It's not moving, it's not going anywhere, so why is that any different than building it in some sort of platform in your backyard? There's no reason for the Mishnah to tell us this, and im fereshes, if we're talking about a boat that's sailing in the middle of the water, this is Machlokes Reb Elazar ben Azariah Reb Akiva that we're going to see in a couple minutes, because we know that in order for a sukkah to be kosher, it has to be yachal lamid beruach metsuya. It has to be able to withstand a regular normal wind. And now here's the catch. When you're out at the sea, a regular normal wind is very strong. It's stronger than a regular wind on dry land, because there's no tall buildings or mountains or whatnot to protect the wind from blowing very strongly. So it's Machlokes Reb Elazar ben Azariah Reb Akiva if such a sukkah is kosher. So that can't be what our Mishnah is referring to, because our Mishnah says, hands down, a sukkah on top of a boat is perfectly fine. Rather, what are we referring to? But Asuna Ba'almin, that's when the boat is at the port. So since it's right next to the dry land, it is protected by either mountains or buildings or whatnot, and the wind is not very strong. And therefore, in terms of Ruach, no one's going to have an issue. And also, it's very similar to the Agala case that it's mentioned with, because it's metaltel. It technically is moving or is movable because the boat is still in the water, and that's why it's grouped together with the Agala, and that's the Chiddush. Now, just talking about this, Rav Shem Bar Karsana says B'Shem Rav Acha that Rav Meir, Rav Yosef, Rav Blazer Ben Azariah, Shloshan Amru Davar Echad, that all three of these Tanaim all say the same thing. And that's that a mechitza, which is not kavua, namely a wall or a partition of sorts, which is not set, it's going to end up being moved away, it's not considered a mechitza. Let's see where this applies. Yud Beis Amud Aleph on top, Rav Meir de l'chayayim. Rav Meir's case is l'chayayim. What does it mean l'chayayim? So we mentioned previously in the Masechta that we have a mavui on Shabbos, which is technically Rosh HaYochid. However, we have to fix up the mavui in order to be able to carry here. We've discussed a kaira, the crossbeam at the top of the mavui, right at the entrance. And another thing that could be done is a lechi, is a side post. So there's machlekes. Let's say an animal is being used as a side post. The Chacham hold that's okay. Whereas Rav Meir, he says it's not okay. That's because the animal is just going to walk away. And so that's considered a mechitza she'ina kavua. Now this is applied in another area as well. The Tanina, we have a mission that tells us mitami mishum gailol. It's mitami because of gailol. Whereas Rav Meir matayer, Rav Meir's matayer. This has to do with a kever. We know that the gailol, which is the cover put on top of the kever, is mitame when a person touches it. Now let's say an animal was being used as the gailol, as the cover. So the Chacham say that's metame because of gailol, it's a regular cover, whereas Rav Meir's metayer because he says this is not a mechitza, this is not a cover, the animal's going to get up and walk away, you're going to take it away, and therefore it's considered a mechitza, it's not kavua. So this is Shita's Rav Meir. On to the next Shita, Rabbi Yaisa de Ahilois, Rabbi Yaisi of Ayolois. Rabbi Yaisi says, Habayas Shebesfina, a house on a ship, ain't a mevias a toma, it's not mevi toma. Now this is a din regarding Tomas Mace. We know that when there's Tomas Mace inside of a house or a structure, that's called an oihel in halacha, any person or object that is inside that house, house is tame because of oil. It's underneath the same tent, under the same roof as the Tumas Meis. Now, Rabbi Yossi tells us that a house on top of a ship is not mevi toma. It doesn't have a din of oil, and that's because the wind is so strong, it's just going to knock away those mechitzas and not considered solid, and therefore it's not really considered a house. And lastly, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Tani wave of Brisa, Ma'is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Shahayu Baim Besfino, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Kiva were on a ship. Also, Rabbi Kiva sukkah Barisha Sfino, and Rabbi Kiva made a sukkah at the top of the boat, and Ubas Ruach, a wind came, Vefri Chasa, and blew the whole thing down. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told him, Akiva, Ayesu Kascha, Akiva, where's your sukkah? In other words, the same way your sukkah was just blown away now, and you don't have one physically, even when you built it, it wasn't valid, and you didn't have a kosher sukkah. So you see over here as well, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds the mechitza that's not kavua, it's going to end up being removed or taken down or blown down, is not a valid mechitza. And now the Gemara basically copy pastes an entire discussion from Maseches Eiruvin, and eventually we're going to see how this has to do with the dinim of sukkah. Before we get into it, we need a little bit of an introduction. We know there's something called Tchum Shabbos, and that's on Shabbos and Yontif. One isn't allowed to walk more than 2,000 amas from their place of residence, or in halachic terminology, that's called Makom Shvisa, the place where they live. Now, how do we determine Makom Shvisa? That's where a person's food is, and usually that's the person's house. But now let's say a person wants to walk 4,000 amas north of their house on Shabbos. Regular Tchum Shabbos only allows them to go 2,000, but they want to go 4,000. So this person can extend his Tchum. How does he do that? So on Erev Shabbos, he walks 2,000 amas towards the north, places some food down. Now that is his Makom Shvisa, because that's where his food is. His house is not his Makom Shvisa anymore, and he can go back to his house before Shabbos because it's still at the edge of his Tchum, and no problem. And on Shabbos, he walks 2,000 amas from his house to his food, which again is his Makom Shvisa, and then he can walk another 2,000 amas beyond that. Now here's the key, this is the main point. His Eruv, which is this food of his, is only kind of Shvisa for him. It only determines that this is his Makom Shvisa at Ben HaShemashis, just as Shabbos comes in. So if all is fine, he successfully extended his Tchum. If not, then not. The question obviously is, what does that mean that all is fine? So an example of this would be that the food is still there. If the food is still there Ben HaShemashis, then he was kind of Shvisa, and that's his new place. But let's say before Shabbos, a hungry cat came along and ate his food, and by the time Ben HaShemashis arrived, there's no more food, then he doesn't have an Eruv. Now here's another situation, and this is what's relevant for our Gemara. He also needs to be able to access his Eruv Ben HaShemashis. But if not, it's not a valid Eruv, and that's because if Makom Shvisa is determined where his food is, but if his food isn't accessible, then he doesn't have a Makom Shvisa. Now knowing all that, the Gemara tells us as follows. Nasna be'ilon, if he took his Eruv and he put it in a tree. L'mal me'asar tefachim, if it's above 10 tefachim, ain't a Eruv. It's not an Eruv. That's because he can't access it, and we're going to explain soon in the Gemara why that is. L'mat me'asar tefachim, if he put it in the tree lower than 10 tefachim, Eruv ve'eruv, it is a valid Eruv, v'asar l'taltaloi, but he's not being metaltalit on Shabbos. Whereas l'mat me'shloisha, mutter, if he put it on the tree, but below 3 tefachim, meaning within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's totally mutter. Not only is it a valid Eruv, but he's even allowed to take it, and that's because we just view the first 3 tefachim of the tree as just an extension of the ground, so it's like he put it on the ground. Now, Akasha, we have a question on the second case that we just brought, that he had placed it on the tree lower than 10 tefachim. If it's a valid Eruv, then he should be allowed to be metaltalit. Vim also letaltaloi, if you want to tell me that it's us for him to be metaltalit, he's not allowed to touch his Eruv or move it, then loye Eruv Eruv, it shouldn't be a valid Eruv, because that means he doesn't have access to it, and we said that he has to be able to access his Eruv. And the answer is that no. Roy hu lavra al shvus v'loichal, he could be over on a shvus and eat it. Now, what does this mean? So again, as we had said, it has to be that Bein HaShemashis, he's able to access his Eruv. Now, this fellow who had hung his Eruv on the tree is not allowed to take it on Shabbos, because as we had said in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to be mishtamish be'ilon. You can't use a tree on Shabbos, but nonetheless, it's still a kosher Eruv. And that's because the only reason why it's asur to be mishtamish be'ilon on Shabbos is a shvus. It's an isser derabanan. And there's a special din that Bein HaShemashis Erev Shabbos, we don't apply isurei derabanan. We don't apply isur shvus. And therefore, actually, Bein HaShemashis, he would be allowed to be over on a shvus, which means he doesn't have an issue of a shvus to take his Eruv from the tree. If he wanted to take it off the tree Bein HaShemashis, he would be allowed to, 100%, no problem. And that's why it's a valid Eruv, because Bein HaShemashis, he was able to access it. It's just that now that it's on Shabbos, he's not allowed to take it off the tree, because then he would actually be over being mishtamish be'ilon. So the Gemara asks, me'at, if that's really so, afilu l'mal me'asara, even if he puts his Eruv above 10 tefachim on the tree, it should still be a kosher Eruv. He just shouldn't be allowed to be metaltalit on Shabbos for the same exact reason. You can't be mishtamish be'ilon on Shabbos, but Bein HaShemashis, he still had access to it. So why do we say in this braisa that if the Eruv is above 10 tefachim on the tree, it's not a valid Eruv in the first place? So Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shem Shmuel, tifter, we could explain, shahaysa kechrasoi arba. That's because the branch of the tree that he had placed his Eruv on was 4 tefachim wide, and that means that now it's in a totally different rishos. It's in rishos hayachid, because more than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's 4 tefachim wide, and we know that 10 high and 4 wide is rishos hayachid. So he actually has an isser de'ayraisa, because as we're going to see in a moment, under the tree is rishos harabim, and where his Eruv is located is rishos hayachid, and the isser of taking from rishos hayachid to rishos harabim is de'ayraisa, and that means that Benesh Mashais, he would not have access to his Eruv. Now, Amar Rav Mani, he further clarifies this, Vishetehei Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Makfasai, Mikol Tzad, is only Aser, if there's Rosh Hashanah Rabim that completely surrounds this tree from all sides, and therefore that means he's in Rosh Hashanah Rabim and his tree is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. However, if at least part of the area around the tree is considered a Karmelis, which a Karmelis itself is only Rosh Hashanah Rabbanon, and the Isser of transferring from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Karmelis is Rabbanon, so then his Eruv is perfectly valid. And also, Ba'aymer Shvisasi Tachtov, his Eruv is also not valid, only if he said, I want to be Kana Shvisa, I want my place of residence to be underneath, meaning on the ground, so then he's trying to be Kana Shvisa in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and his Eruv is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so then it wouldn't be valid. But if he said, I want to be Kana Shvisa in the tree, so then it actually would be a valid Eruv, because his Makam Shvisa is where his Eruv is. And we continue discussing Eruvin. Tani, we have a Braisa, Nasabik Akala, if he put his Eruv in a basket, Vitalio Bil Elon, and he hung it in the tree, pay attention to our significant gears of changes we're going to have in the next couple of lines. Even if he hung his basket from the tree higher than 10 tefachim, his eruv is a valid eruv. However, aser l'taltoloi, he's not even metaltan on Shabbos. The brisa continues, if he hung it on the tree lower than 10 tefachim, so of course his eruv is valid. We actually take out these next words, eruve eruv, and umoter l'taltoloi, that's Rabbi Girsa, it's mutter to metaltoloi because it's lower than 10 tefachim. Now l'matim ishloisha, mutter, if it's lower than 3 tefachim, it's 100% mutter in all scenarios. And v'kash, we have a question, im eruve eruv, if you want to say his eruv is valid, then he should be mutter metaltoloi when it's higher than 10 tefachim. V'im also taltoloi, if you want to say it's also metaltoloi, it shouldn't be a valid eruv. We have to clarify this. Rav Ach says b'shem Rav Chinuno, this case is different because roi hu lahavcha levatol rishus hayachid sheba. He could be mahapech the basket. He could turn it over, and now he's being mevatol rishus hayachid. He had hung it from the tree above 10 tefachim, and the bottom of the basket is 4 tefachim wide. And as we had said previously, that's a rishus hayachid, so technically it would be an issue. However, as Rav Ach just clarified for us, since he technically could turn the basket on its side, and its side is not 4 tefachim wide, let's say it's just 2 tefachim, then that means it's not a rishus hayachid, and so even though it's higher than 10 tefachim, it's still not a rishus hayachid because the basket that's on his side, and therefore it's a valid eruv. Once again, he's not allowed to metaltal it. Now, Rav Yosa builds off of this. Hada Amr, this tells us that saf sol shehu nasan rishus harabim, a bench that's in the rishus harabim, gavayasar v'rachav arba, it's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, nice comfortable bench for passers by to sit on. Mikivan shehu royal haifchai, since technically he could flip it on its side, and then it's only 4 tefachim high and 10 tefachim wide, yud bezon bezon on top. And the words is accomplished, levatol rishus haram shabai, is mevatol rishus harabim, really this means it's mevatol its status as rishus hayachid, and it's considered to be part of the rishus harabim. So Adamer, that tells us, sheiruve eruv mutal tataloi, that his eruv that's on this bench, before the bench is flipped over, is still valid, and he's allowed to be metatal it. And we're stopping for the day, and pick up tomorrow, bringing this entire discussion into our Mishnah regarding the sukkah that has to do with the tree. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.